declare the meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. And I will commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbungia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. And I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present here this evening. Thank you. I also need to remind everyone present that this meeting is being webcast or recorded, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements as the recordings become publicly available. And I'd also ask if anyone has a mobile phone, would you mind turning it to silent, please? Thank you, and I'll start by calling for apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This evening we have one apology, and that apology is from Councillor James Angel.
Thank you. And is Reverend Shayla Webb? Don't have anyone from the Christian Ministers Association present. Doesn't look like it. We'll have to wing it without a prayer. Disclosures of interest.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have two this evening. The first one is from Councillor Troy Vance in relation to 11.3. Mm-hmm. And the second disclosure of interest is from Councillor Ricky Buchanan in relation to item 12.1.
Thank you. Now, Councillor's confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 29th of September.
I move.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We'll now go to a notice of motion, which is my notice on page 17. So I'll formally move that. Seconded Councillor Vance. It's open for discussion. No discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And councillors, tonight we have a public forum. We have Mr. James Ford, who'd like to address council. He's speaking on behalf of the Nambucca River oyster farmers, and he's speaking in relation to ongoing sewage issues and a request for funding towards the shellfish program testing. Mr. Ford, would you like to come forward and address council?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, General Manager, Council employees, councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak forth and express my concerns tonight about the ongoing issues of sewage spills in the Nambucca Shire, to which is greatly affecting the oyster industry in so many ways, financially, physically and mentally. The ongoing issue of sewage spills has been a problem for many years, over 15 that I know of from my father's diary notes and working under him during his many years of oyster farming. In dealings with the council sewage department, back then on regular areas, popping manholes and failing pumping stations, overflowing into creeks and into the Nambucca River harvest area, causing mandatory closures to the oyster harvesting. Even though many of these sites were pointed out as hotspots, they still seem to be popping up in current times of spills. From this, we can take on board that nothing has advanced in rectifying the problems, even over the course of such time, which is greatly concerning to the industry, public health, and general water quality. So is it getting better or worse? The statistics are telling us much worse. From New South Wales Food Authority, highlighted plainly by Anthony Zammit's charts. Since January, 8 spills have occurred, with each spill closing the harvest area for a mandatory 21 days. To date, that equals 168 days plus, more than 50%. I ask you, how can any business operate like this in today's world? Why is it 168 plus? One of these was extended for a while the pipe leaked continuously, waiting for contractors to fix. And just on this particular spill, it was not even reported properly to the authorities until I rang the sewage department and told them they had a problem, because all of our NEET tests and water tests were off the charts, too numerous to count. The reply from the sewage department on this was, well, we do have a cracked pipe, but I only thought it was filling up on the incoming tide. My reply, wow. When I went to school, basic hydrology, if it fills up on the incoming tide, well, then it empties on the outgoing. The department's reply, well, I guess we do have a spill. I hung up. So that was just under $1,000 worth of testing monies wasted on trying to open the river. Every spill, we must do a full range of tests to reopen the river, which brings us to our first request for an increase from council towards our shellfish program fees by 3 times the current contribution. As this year we will be more than triple the normal amount of spills, will only bring us in line to what the state average receives as contributions from other councils. We want the problem fixed, but we are told there are no money in the budget. A percentage of every rates must be used only for sewage. Surely the rate would be set by state government that understand how much average household needs to manage sewage and deal with upgrades to old infrastructure, not to get this far behind that we're at but a third world level. So we are failing. A letter of explanation of why we are so far behind would be nice. A solution that we think, all future funds from the Green Levy be put forward into the sewage budget. This would help. Has there been any applications sent chasing funding to fix the problem? Do council even know the problem? And costing to fix the problem. As we are hearing from other governing bodies that the council could not even tell them where and how they would spend the grant money if it was found. We want to work with council to get a fix. There is lots of grants around for water quality, but can't help if we are not involved. We have not been invited to any of the last rounds of meetings, and we're not even allowed a copy of the minutes. Okay, back to the big three. Financially, it's crippling us. Customer confidence in getting regular product is gone. Figured from one farmer, 8 spills, 3 weeks, each spill, 24 weeks, at $10,000 per week, $240,000 lost this year. These figures are not Easter or Xmas figures. Losing these times to the oyster farmer is a 70% loss, which we have lost in the past Christmas and Easters. Physically, public health. To ask every time at the council for signage, why? It's law to warn the public. This needs to change. The only reason we get signage is because the oyster farmers come in and ask. Health for the river. Council's mentality seems to think it's all good after a couple of changes of tides, which is not the case. It is death by a thousand cuts. The water quality is dropping. With that comes viruses. We don't want to be the next river to fall to QX. And it is a ticking time bomb with sewage and paranorovirus, which one cupful of paranorovirus can infect an area the size of Sydney Harbour, which has shut rivers for years. Mentally, it's debilitating to everyone. Everyone's feeling it. There is a flow on through other businesses. It is just not the oyster industry. We need help. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm appealing to councillors and the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Councillors, does anyone have any questions for Mr. Ford? None? Thank you. Councillor Janvey.
Well, I'd like to call for a report from council on to address the issues raised by Mr. Ford, particularly around hotspots and old infrastructure and the reporting of spills.
Can you, the minute taker needs to capture your recommendation, so need to specify.
Point one would be that a report be brought back to council on the issues raised by Mr. James Ford. And I just thought some of those things that I captured that he mentioned was around hotspots, old infrastructure, how council reports spills.
Well, just a minute. Mr. Ford's provided a written copy of his speaking notes, haven't you, Mr. Ford? Okay, so you will have.
Yep. All right, okay. And, well, the second point would be the increase from council to the shellfish program. So. And funding options.
I think it's increase in funding and funding options.
Yep.
I think Councillor Janvey is looking for possible sources of funding. Does that capture? You happy with that wording?
Seconded.
Seconded Councillor Vance. Okay, it's open for discussion. None.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to address it. I think we're all concerned about the river health, and we've seen this across a whole range of different groups in our communities. The oyster farmers are obviously probably the most impacted when it comes to livelihood and ongoing sustainability. So I think this is a very appropriate thing to do. I know the issues are complex, and I think that's why it's important we call for a report before we rush to immediate action, but so I'd thoroughly support the resolution.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Councillor Janvey.
It's a really vital industry, a vital farming industry, and it's vital to our tourism, and it's linked up with clean rivers and people's perceptions of clean rivers. And you know, if our infrastructure is very old and it needs upgrading, then we need to be able to be applying for funding. And so I'd be really looking forward to seeing this report, because it's a very a vital industry for Nambucca, and I wouldn't like to see it go like to the Hawkesbury River. You know, we're probably at a real crossroads. So this is serious, but something council should be doing very well, you know. We've got a responsibility here to this area.
Okay, thank you. Councillors, just for information, I do need to clarify, because I saw Mr. Ford's speaking notes prior to the meeting. The sewer spill that he referred to that wasn't reported, he said wasn't reported to the EPA, I checked in council records, do note his phone call and his notification, it had already been reported to the EPA. Another thing we need to keep in mind is, yes, we're having more closures, but one of the reasons for that is we now have a SCADA system in place that actually alerts us to sewer spills. I have a suspicion that it's not so much a case of there are more spills, it's just that we are now picking up spills that previously we wouldn't have even been aware of. So, but the minute our SCADA system does pick up a spill, we are obligated under legislation to notify the EPA, and that in turn creates a closure. the other comment that I wanted to make in terms of the council, I'm not quite sure who told Mr. Ford, I'd like to know who told Mr. Ford or what agency suggested that the council hasn't got any idea of what they'd spend the money on. We have a capital works program and a long-term financial plan for sewer that's as long as your arm. All councillors will be familiar with the IWCM, the Integrated Water Cycle Management Strategy, that covers both water and sewer, and all of the capital works programs that are listed in that, most of which are unfunded. The other point is that when it comes to grant funding or available funding for sewer, it's a little bit like getting funding for toilet blocks. No politician seems to want to come and cut a ribbon on a toilet block. The same tends to apply for sewer pipes or things that are unseen and under the ground. It's disappointing how little funding there is for sewer infrastructure. In recent years, there's been an increase in water infrastructure, and that's only because communities across the state almost ran out of water in previous droughts. So nothing would please me more to see more funding available, but it's got nothing to do with us not having a list of things that we can fund and actually having that list set out. And of course, the other thing is, as councillors would also be aware, a lot of grant funding has very tight parameters. You might need funding for relining pipes, but the funding parameters will be for conducting a study or for smoke testing. When you already know where you've got infrastructure that needs replacing, it'd be nice if the funding wasn't tied by very specific guidelines. And of course, the other thing is, in terms of what using the environmental levy, I don't know whether Mr. Ford or the oyster growers are aware, but council operates three separate and discrete financial funds. One is the general fund, the other two are the water and sewer funds. The water and sewer funds, that's where money that comes from water rates and sewer rates goes to those. You can't take funds out of the sewer fund and use it for roads or for general purpose things. So that's a specific purpose of those funds. They're separate. The environmental levy is part of the general fund. Sewer has its own fund, and in terms of the charges that we're allowed to levy on people, that's governed by the New South Wales Best Practice Pricing Guidelines, which are actually really restrictive and prohibitive and don't go anywhere near funding future capital works. And that's been a problem for the last, ever since this community had town water and town sewer. The charges just don't cover the... in water and sewer, you have financial reserves, and every time people pay their water and sewer bills, there's a component in there for future... A small amount of that fee, there's a component for future capital works, and that's set under those best practice pricing guidelines that we're required to adopt, but they don't go anywhere near providing the funding that is actually necessary for future capital works. When I say future capital works, that's about no sewage treatment plant, no sewer pipes, no pump station lasts forever. So a council needs to be able to set funds aside so that when they do need replacing, that money is there. And unfortunately, the prices that we're able to charge just don't cover those requirements. So we're between a rock and a hard place, and the only people who end up paying for all of these things is our ratepayers, and it's only those who are connected to water and sewer that actually pay those fees. So that's a very small number of people, considering the size of the Nambucca River and the number of towns and locations and the network of sewer infrastructure that we have. We have very few people having to fund an awful lot of infrastructure. I just wanted to make those comments because although I completely sympathise with the situation of the oyster growers, the solution for council is not a simple one either. And to be quite blunt, any lobbying that the oyster growers could do to get us that additional funding would be more than welcome. Anyway, if there's no other discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors will go to... Page 19, item 9.1. Move to Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Is there any discussion? Councillor Vance.
Item 12, Valour Urban Growth, seems to be, it's come to an end.
Sorry. What was that? Seems it's come to an end.
Yeah, so the last report was that we're not getting funding.
Well, no, that's not the case. Did you want to make comment on that?
Oh, thanks, Madam Mayor. No, we're still waiting on responses from those state agencies in regards to the funding grants.
Hey, Councillor Jones.
Madam Mayor, number 12 as well. I moved that motion back in June that we have a Land Development Committee meeting to be held following Public Works. I wonder if we could bring that forward. I think we're at a crucial point here where we need to have clarity around what the situation is. I note the application for funding for business case and project plan submitted. That being as it may, I still think that we need to be, I'd like to see councils, especially new councils, being aware of the funding model that we're working under and the assumptions and the modelling that we're using currently, or certainly historically, how much has been spent, how much is in reserves. Could I ask on this, I've been thinking about it, could I ask the relevant person through the general manager, I presume it could be, not sure, Mr. Hunt maybe, but when we're looking at this funding and the infrastructure, are we looking at the infrastructure just for the council stage, or is the infrastructure going to be of a size that would allow stage 2 and 3? When I say that, I mean the other land parcels behind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just through the general manager, it's actually the infrastructure is the trunk infrastructure to get water and sewer to the actual site. It's not for distribution on the site. That'll be up to the developer. Sorry, what was the other?
I suppose to clarify, is the size of that work just for the council site, or is it taking
yes.
in?
It's just for the council site itself.
So the site's behind, up the
it's
hill.
It's only for stage one of okay. On council's land. So after stage one, which is industrial, there's also residential and commercial stage 2 and 3. So hopefully the sales from stage one will help council fund stage 2 and 3.
So the water and the sewerage and the pumping stations and the upgrades will only really cater for the industrial. Is that what I'm hearing?
We're going to make it big enough so that it can cater for future stages.
Will it cater further for the other possible development by up the hill?
Yes. That's why it's going to cost a fair bit.
Thank you.
And then we would get contributions from those future developers.
The contribution will be the standard contribution, though. They won't yes. be chipping in $15 million each.
No.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? You'd have a couple of questions, if I may, to the general manager and possibly to the appropriate staff member. Which one is it? It's item 5, which extends across to page 26. This is approvals. Policy. It's 8 months since that went to the Office of Local Government. Is the delay, like they said back in July, that they were still working on a response. Is that a normal time frame for the Office of Local Government to deal with something like this? Or have we been told there's some major issue with it?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, it's my first dealings in this relation with OLG, so I can't actually say if it's usual, but I can say we have received the approval this week.
We have
this week, so it will come to the next council meeting.
Oh, so, okay. Well, that's answered my question. So after 8 months, they've said yes.
We got there, yep.
Thank you. What was the other one I wanted to ask about? Oh, the asbestos one. There was a whole list of... have those... Sorry, it's page 27. It continues over two pages, so it's number 7, but it continues on to page 27. And there were a list of things that were recommended in relation to alerting contractors to asbestos in buildings and so forth. It's been in the outstanding actions for quite a long time. I just wondered whether all of those things have now been completed and it can be removed, or is there something still outstanding?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, there are items still outstanding, which is why that the last four dot points are in bold. It's recommended we amend that resolution. Currently, we don't have an asset management register. That's something we've got plans for each site, but not a register. Which
mean an asbestos.
Sorry, asbestos register. Correction.
I was going to say, I hope we've got a register of our assets.
Sorry, asbestos management plan. But we don't have the register, so mm-hmm. the amendment will be that we move to arrange a register, which we think we can do in the next financial year. We just need to find funding. We will need mm-hmm. contractors to assist with that. The other change will be the placing of stickers. We've got and the placement of physical measurement plans at each site. It's just not practical to have them at each site.
Mm-hmm.
So what that's saying is that any contractor will be given a copy of electronic copy of the plan, hard copy if they need, and a copy will be given to each relevant committee of management,
mm-hmm.
And stickers will be placed at the entry to each building. It's removing the requirement for it to go on every manhole and opening. It's just not practical to get it to all those spots.
So when you say the recommendation needs to be changed, so will a further report come back to council, or is it something that at an operational level can just be...
Well, it's point two to this recommendation to this report. So the status of column in item 7 be mm-hmm. amended as per that bold, yep. which would form the new resolution.
Sorry, I hate to tell you this, but on the iPads, for some reason through the hub, the bold doesn't work. Or it just works here and there and a word or two. We lose all of the bolding of recommendations that we used to have.
Right, okay.
I don't know whether it was since the last update of the software or whether it was when we went to the Samsung tablets.
Right, okay. Mine must be Samsung.
Oh, you've got an old iPad.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah, it worked on the iPads. Right. It doesn't on these new Samsung things.
Right, yep.
We'll look at it, Adam.
Okay. Right, thank you.
One more, please, if I could, Madam Mayor. Could I ask item 6, the Caravan Park Planning Minister, blah, blah, blah. We had a meeting on the 4th of the 10th, sorry, 5th of the 5th of the 10th, and on the 5th of October, IPC. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend, but could we have a very brief feedback? How did that go?
This was the request for a review of the department's decision.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Jones, the hearing was held. Basically, it was a rehash explaining that letter that with justification we sent through. A few questions are asked, and basically they've given us 3 weeks time frame for a determination, so we should find out within the next fortnight.
So they do understand now that the applicant was well aware prior to...
That's right, yeah.
..and still went ahead because their initial response basically said they felt sorry for them because they didn't know.
Yeah.
That wasn't true.
Yeah.
That was made clear?
That was very clear.
Good.
Yep.
Thank you.
In that related matter, is that likely to be... Is that determination going to be made before that three-week period, or is that...
Through the General Manager... Councillor Jones, it's intended to report the application to the JRPP in next month, but I don't think it will impact determination.
This determination could impact that recommendation?
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. No other queries on this item or this list of outstanding actions? Are those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 33, item 9.2. Problem with page numbers? Page 33, item 9.2. Has everyone got it?
Yeah, I'll move that.
Okay, moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Janvey. It's open for discussion.
Maybe a question through you, Madam Mayor, to the General Manager. in my mind, what I was going to say, but so this is senior staff positions would all come under a state government kind of order, or whether they're individual contracts. Like, I assume at the moment we've got a number of individual type contracts rather than an award type wage.
Sure, that's correct, Councillor. Through you, Madam Chair, the current situation is that if you're designated as a senior staff member, you're on a contract. If you're designated anything below that, you're on the award, is my understanding. But we're very fortunate this evening to have our HR manager with us. Perhaps she would like to extrapolate the answers. But this proposal from the Office of Local Government is really about putting the general manager only on a contract and the senior staff on the award. So as you're an experienced councillor, you'd know that the contracts can be terminated at any time. When people are on an award, it's a much more difficult process to go through. So they're seeking feedback and response from all the councils around the state. And, so as per the recommendation, if you have any queries or you'd like council to make a recommendation, please send me something and I can put it in.
Councillors, I think this is a pretty wishy-washy recommendation or resolution. I think council should be more definitive about it, and it should be a resolution of council, not simply some comments. So I'm going to move an amendment because it's not actually opposite to what's here. And the amendment is that council, who are we going to make a submission to? Sorry. That council advise the Office of Local Government that it doesn't support the removal of the ability to employ senior staff on contract. Point one. Point two is the recommendation that's already there. The third point. Council write to Local Government New South Wales expressing its disappointment the board supported this proposal without consultation with the member councils it represents, And without matter being considered at an annual conference. If I can get a seconder, I'll explain why. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Councillors, if you look at this, it's inequitable to begin with. Why would you say your senior... When we say senior staff, we're talking in councils, it would be the equivalent of either what are people who are deemed to be directors or assistant general managers. It's the most senior positions. And as you're aware, in our council, for some period of time, the general manager and the two assistant general managers and previously directors, as their title was, were on contract. It's inequitable to have a general manager on contract. And then, I mean, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I sat through a seminar or webinar or whatever you want to call it that the Office of Local Government conducted, and all of the logic that they gave for a general manager being on contract applied to directors and assistant general managers, and the logic they gave for putting them on salary equally applied to a general manager. I also think that this actually ties a general manager's hands behind their back, because the general manager is the only one who's actually employed by and reports to the elected council. So if he's not in a position to demand or ensure performance from people underneath him, it's an impossible situation. Whereas, as you're aware, contracts, they're performance-based. The other thing is these are senior positions, so if you get somebody in a very senior position who is not performing, and I think councillors are aware of some of the, I guess in terms of performance and being performance managed out of the organisation or out of the council, it's a very generous award compared to a performance-based contract. If you've got somebody at a very senior level who's not performing to the satisfaction of the general manager or the elected council, you should have the ability to do something about that, because that position and that performance filters right down through the organisation. I just think that we have to be stronger on this than just saying that. And I just think it puts general managers in an absolutely impossible situation where the council says, we want this. On behalf of our community, this is what the community wants. This is the performance we expect from the organisation. General manager should be able to put those things into performance-based contracts for the people who are at the top of various departments.
Point one, Madam Mayor. I'm not sure if it's quite captured the essence of what you were saying. Does support the ability.
The ability. Look, if some councils want to put them on salary, good luck to them. That's why I'm saying the ability of senior staff to be employed on performance-based contract. That it does not support the removal of the ability for senior staff to be employed on a performance-based contract.
Ask Madam Mayor, where do you think this sort of push has come from? Do we know where this sort of, maybe I could ask through you, the General Manager, do we know where this has originated from? Is it in other states? Certainly in Victoria it wasn't the case, senior staff were on contracts.
Experience in another state is it's not the case. This has come from the Office of Local Government.
And I'd point out, councillors, you will have only recently gone through the experience of looking at a senior staff contract, and you're aware that there are significant provisions and protections for the person. You're also aware that part of the contract will always be a performance agreement that is agreed by both parties. So essentially... So if the person meets the requirements of that agreed performance-based arrangement, then they have no reason for concern. But when you find that you have someone who's not meeting those, and obviously there are still provisions for improvement, changing that, what do you call it, mediation, there's a whole range of things that are captured in those contracts. So I don't see what the issue is with the contracts. Councillor Janvey.
I'm not supporting the amendment because I think councils that have operated under this have indicated it hasn't impeded their flexibility or limit their ability to ensure that executive level employees are accountable for their performance. And also the third point here, this was an issue, this was an item at last year's local government conference and it passed the conference.
I don't believe that it was this.
It was, yes, it was. There was, it's around awards, senior executive.
There was around awards and so forth, but it was not to completely remove the ability to have staff on senior contract.
Well, actually, if you think it was, look, in unions and the industrial award system, and I think all issues can be addressed there that you have with employees.
And why? So. Then why? Do the Labor Party members of the local government New South Wales board still insist that general managers remain on contract? If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Explain that to me.
I don't know. You need to differentiate, I guess, between general managers and senior staff because they're in charge of everybody's employment. I don't know.
Exactly. That's the point that I'm making.
Well,
it's the very point that I'm making.
I will be voting against this.
Given that I'm not 100% sure, I'll remove point three double check. I do recall discussion of it, but I don't believe that it was support for the complete removal of the ability to have contracts. And as for the comment about councils, the reason, I've been on council almost 20 years, the reason that performance-based contracts were brought in was for precisely that, Councillor Janvey, that too many councils had trouble with non-performing senior management staff, that the award was such that it was taking 5 to 6 years of performance management before, when they didn't improve, they could relieve themselves of that employee. It was councils that actually asked to have those contracts. So I'm not sure who told you that, but that's where performance-based contracts actually came into local government for senior management. The condition was that the councils have to pay more than, I think it is more, it's more than the award? It has to, to have senior staff on contract, you have to pay the equivalent or more of the award, if I...
Yes, Madam Mayor, but the award can have additional payments made to staff. So... It the equivalent of a contract, if you want.
So the would the award it would have obviously surely it would have within it categories for different size local government areas for no.
No, it's senior staff. Yeah.
So it's the same if you're in Sydney or if you're here.
Well, it's an award, so you know it's like if you're a records clerk at Nambucca Valley Council, because we're a small council, you don't get paid less than one at Coffs Harbour or Port Macquarie.
The reason I say that, in a way, and ironically, it would make it easier for us to attract staff if they're going to get the same pay to work here as they are at some incredibly complex shire 10 times the size. Anyway, it's just, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, it's up to the vote. But I personally think that it's going to make life very difficult for general managers when they're on contract and staff are on salary, senior staff. If there's no discussion, I'll put the amendment. Those in favour? Against? Thank you. The amendment is carried. It becomes a motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 35, item 9.3.
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion?
Great outcome. Congratulations to the work that was done, and certainly speaking to a number of the shopkeepers in Nambucca, they were absolutely thrilled. And word did get out about the amount of effort made by staff, and very, very appreciated. So, well done.
I don't think staff wore it. I said, I don't think staff wore it.
No, but I think the people...
The
people on the street actually did get a very clear understanding of the processes and what happened, and they were pretty chuffed with the outcome.
Let's just say that the Mayor is being very careful not to speed, sure I have my seatbelt on, because...
Always, I'm sure, Madam Mayor.
Yes, because I have a suspicion that I won't be very popular for a little while with some of our local officers, but anyway. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No late reports from the General Manager, so page 37, item 10.1.
Moved.
Moved, Councillor Janby. Oh, councillors. Probably need to add to this one. Oh, we've got it up on the screen. You'll recall back at the commencement of the pandemic when we had no means of meeting remotely because we didn't have, you know, Microsoft Teams and everything set up, this council made some special pandemic provisions to myself and the General Manager. And I think they should be removed. They were never intended to be permanent. It was just if something happened and decisions had to be made and we couldn't meet as a council and they were a matter of urgency, it gave delegated authority to the Mayor and the General Manager to make decisions on things that would normally have come to a council meeting. So that's what the second part is, that that be removed. Look, if we have pandemic conditions again and it's necessary, the council can always re-implement it, but I don't think that there's any need and I don't think it's appropriate that they stay there.
Was it ever used? I don't think it was used, was it? Did you use
No. And I'm pretty sure from memory that part of the original resolution was that if they were used, those delegations had to be reported as soon as practical to other councillors. Well, the other thing is we now, if necessary, have the ability to be able to meet remotely that we didn't have previously too. So even if there is a resurgence of similar pandemic conditions, we're in a better position to deal with council meetings than we were initially. Councillor Janby, are you happy to move the second part as well?
Withdraw it, yes. Yes.
Okay. Did I have a seconder there? Seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Is there any discussion? Councillor Janby.
Just a question. When I looked at the... I'm glad it's virtually the same delegations that we that are current. But when I looked at the attachments, it was weird. The Mayor and the Deputy Mayor's delegations seemed to have headings and were sort of strategic. But when it came to the General Manager's, it's like a timeline of changes, and then it came to sort of strategic headings. So it was just the Mayor and Deputy Mayors looked like it was a policy of council, and the other one had a strange look to it. It was only a look.
Well, that's a question for a staff member. Yes. I'll ask the General Manager to indicate who should respond.
Through the General Manager, the Mayor and Deputy Mayor delegations were new and I introduced those when I came here, The other ones are fairly old, and it's just a record of all the different changes to the delegations to different positions. That's at the front, just so that we've got a track record of what's been changed in the delegations. So that's the only reason they're different. The Mayor and Deputy Mayors haven't changed at all.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 40, item 10.2.
Moved
Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Yes. Through the General Manager to our Chief Financial Officer, please. Could you explain in just layman terms the negative floor that ensures integrity?
Through the General Manager, Councillor Janvey, I believe that's explained in one of the attachments.
Yes, it is.
To that report. And I believe the letter from the Local Government Grants Commission, page 3, where it talked about the CPI may not increase going forward. Should that occur, the Commission will likely need to restore the negative floor to ensure the integrity and legislative compliance of the allocation system is maintained.
I just couldn't quite work out what a negative floor...
What it means.
...looked like.
Okay. I believe they've had implemented negative increases in the past. So it's trying to maintain some sort of equalisation, I believe, from
by not getting as much funding the next year. But that wouldn't be every council.
Well, it also depends on a council by council basis on the disability factors as well. That's another component that influences the payment.
But they fail to recognise the fact that the actual financial assistance grants in terms of a percentage of the total taxation revenue has declined year after year after year after year.
Through the General Manager, that's correct, Madam Mayor. In the past, it used to be 1% of Commonwealth revenue. I think now it's sitting at about 0.55% of Commonwealth revenue.
And yet when you take out the hospitals, the highway, the schools, the police and the courthouse, virtually every other service and public facility that this community requires for day-to-day living is provided by local government on less than 0.5% of a percent of the total taxation revenue that's collected. But anyway... There's no other discussion. I'm going to put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 42, item 10.3. I'm going to change the... I'll move that, but rather than that council laws plural, let it just be that Mayor and Deputy Mayor, and it's normally the General Manager, isn't it? The signs of...
Yes,
I think it should specify who... Well, to say councillors sounds like we're all going to sign them. You happy? I'd be happy if someone else wants to sign them, I can tell you, because it's signing your life away. Yeah, so the recommendation is as is, but that the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and General Manager to sign...
The General Manager, Madam Mayor, if you're going to make that change, you should add the Responsible Accounting Officer into that.
Oh, and as well. And the Responsible Accounting Officer? Happy to do that. If I can get a seconder. Seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? I've got to ask, how do they... expect a mayor, you know, I know the legislation says two councillors have to sign it. Or is it the mayor and one other councillor?
The General Manager, yes, it's the mayor and another councillor.
And one other councillor, yeah. But you're signing to say, you know, that these financial statements are... It's, well, have a look at the Central Coast Council situation, audited by the Auditor General's Department, and in less than 12 months after an audit done by the Auditor General's office, they had to be given $6 million to pay their staff because they were in the throes of financial collapse. So it means I'm not an accountant, neither is the Deputy Mayor, and I don't think any of our other councillors have got accountancy degrees, and yet a councillor has to sign to say that these are accurate, that these are... I'm not suggesting that they're not accurate. I have great confidence in our staff. But I'm just saying, what is the point of having...
He was an accountant.
Sorry?
John was an accountant.
Sorry, he was. I forgot about that. Retired accountant.
Everyone else is jumping up and down.
I forgot about that. Well, in that case... Maybe it should be the Deputy Mayor and another councillor. Now, it just seems to me odd that it is legislated that it be signed by people who don't have suitable qualifications, in my view. In the case of Councillor Wilson, because he has an accountancy background, then maybe he's an exception to the rule. I don't think every mayor in New South Wales has got a degree in accountancy. I certainly don't. Anyway... That was just the point I was making. So, and it's a sign that I have great faith because I'm going to sign these things anyway and just hope to goodness that put my faith and trust in the staff, aren't I? Okay, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Sorry, Councillor Wilson. Page 44, item 10.4. Moved, Councillor Jenby. We have a seconder. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried, page 47, item 10.5. Moved, Councillor Vance. Seconded, Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 50, item 10.6. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried, page 51. Oh, there's no late reports. We haven't got any tonight, have we?
No.
Page 51, item 11.1. Moved, Councillor Janby.
I'll second.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Which was the one Councillor Vance declared?
11.3.
Next one.
11.3, yep. Okay, those in favour? Against? Carried, page 53, item 11.2. Moved, Councillor Janby. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Wait till Councillor Vance leaves the chamber as he's declared a conflict of interest in 11.3, which is on page 54. Someone like to move it?
Yes.
Moved, Councillor Janby. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Can have Councillor Vance back, please.
Tomorrow, won't you?
Okay. Councillors, page 55, item 12.1. Councillor Buchanan has to leave the meeting for this one. Okay, Councillor Buchanan has left. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Can I have a clear show of hands, please? I had two votes for and against there. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Page 58, item 12.2. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Was there discussion? Councillor Janby.
Why did this get messy? Did we put a footpath in or... then the road situation changed and...
No, we put what is current best practice and it's a, you know, the crossing where you have the flags out and the lollipop person. But some of the parents didn't like it.
And the lollipop lady is not there all the time if she's sick. So there's no zebra crossing. It's just a crossing
Crossing.
She has to walk out and put her...
Oh, right.
To bring the kids across, yeah.
Shouldn't the school appoint some other ones? Like, I thought it was absolutely critical that this was part of what they should do.
All of the information was sent to the school, but how well it was sort of read and get the impression that there was just some poor communication, but I don't believe I've seen all of the correspondence that went to the school, to the PNC, what went through the traffic committee. I don't believe it was any fault of council's. I do believe that, you know, perhaps with school holidays and staff away and COVID and other issues, that there wasn't a good grasp of what they were actually going to have. And of course, once it was implemented, I think the first day that school went back, the lollipop lady was ill. So there were children crossing the road with no...
You've got the entrance and then you've got where they have to cross. So if you've got kids running out of school and she's not there to stop them, they'll just run straight through.
They have the flashing lights, you know.
Yeah, I think
further
so.
Down.
Further down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all schools now have got the 40K zone and the flashing lights between prescribed times.
Yeah. The lollipop ladies there, surely someone from the school, not there, someone from... The school should come out.
Well, listen, I think the school took the view that that wasn't the job of teachers to have to do lollipop duty.
They do it in other schools.
Yes, I know they do. All right. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 60, item 12.3. Do we have a mover? Well, I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second for that.
Seconded Councillor Wilson for discussion.
If I could speak against it. Sorry, I don't know where I was there for a minute. As I've been driving around recently, Madam Mayor, this has been the topic I've been chatting to people in the car. And I can tell you the community is split, as we all are, because whilst... We know the positives of this, we also know the negatives. Some of the behaviours up the arms was outrageous. I drove past a site heading up to Country Hill one day. I reckon there was 50 tonnes of assorted rubbish in a council site. However, I still maintain that the positives of this, especially with our demographic and the people in the community with our cars, is such that on balance, taking into account that, I still think we should pursue it, and maybe we should run a campaign through the media or whatever, however we can, an education campaign. But also, I'd go as far as saying that council's at its absolute wit's end, and if the conduct occurs the way it has, it will have to be withdrawn, because it's getting worse every year. Whether we can implement vouchers for those rural areas, really highlighting that and pushing it through the rates notice or something. I'd actually like to move that we defer, call for a report around other options or something like that, because I right. totally get the angst in the community.
Okay, what's the wording of your
Well, why don't we just
amendment?
Discuss it a bit further, and then I can see if I can come up with something. But I'm happy for the discussion in general. Because
well, that's why it had to be moved and
right.
seconded,
that's
because
right.
we're...
Rather than
under meeting practice rules, we yeah. can't discuss unless there's a motion on the floor.
I will suggest that I will move that later okay. in the discussion.
Councillor Vance.
There has to be a time period where people can put their items out on the curb. It can't happen 2 months before or a month before. It has to be like a week before. You know, we've got a duty of care to the people that walk up and down the streets. All these people are stopping their cars, going through all the rubbish, and it doesn't look good for the town. So that's
Councillor Janby.
I'm less worried about aesthetics. Look, this is really popular with our electorate, and it does have sort of important health and economic outcomes for residents. We know people didn't subscribe to the vouchers in the same way that they participate in the curbside collection, roadside collection, because they don't have trailers and they don't have tow balls and they may not have the physicality to kind of do that. But, I mean, when we look at some of the things like recyclable things in there, the hazardous things that have another area for collection, the undersized stuff that could go in the red bin, I mean, all of that, there can be an educational to this. We know people like the scavenging aspect of it. But, I mean, we could be telling people we've got cameras on some of our hotspot areas. You know, they won't know where they are, but maybe something like that might deter. And also they should be told we are in danger of losing this. Like, they should have a chance to sort of maybe rectify their behaviours. I don't know, but when I look at that, the clean-up costs, why in 2020 did we have such a small year? And then, I mean, why did it blow out in 2022 to something, you know, unsustainable? So I would like our community to have a chance to learn more, know it's at risk if we don't change. I'd still like to stay in the contract, and I think education and some sort of threats might achieve that.
Well, someone's going to have to move an amendment because that's the motion that's on the floor. And if we all just vote against it, that falls over, but then you've got nothing. So
yeah, well, my amendment amendment. It won't be an amendment. It will be that the report be deferred and the report back to council for further discussion, and I think we can all have that further discussion.
It's got to be an amendment because we've got a motion on the floor.
I can move that just be. I'll just move that it be deferred.
No. If the seconder is happy, we'll just withdraw the motion in lieu of your replacement motion.
I was just going to move that it be deferred. So
this item be
deferred.
Deferred. You need to tell staff what you want what further information you want.
We want
options and costs.
Options of staying in the contract and what can be.
But my understanding that these additional costs is $44,990. $45,000 was actually above and beyond the contract cost. This
yep.
is council staff
this
going
is...
and tidying up. Yep. See, I mean, so where are we here? What are the options of staying in the council? Further options around possible education campaigns, sharing this information with the community. And highlighting that the rural areas, I don't know, I mean, that'll probably do further education.
And risks, you know, if we can't adhere to it better, you know. Just risks, I guess.
Education.
Risks to losing the service.
So what you're referring to, further education, so the report be heard and report back to council for further discussion on options of further education, and what you're actually looking for is advising the community of the risks of losing the service if...
If their behaviour doesn't change or whatever.
Well, just trying
it's
to...
It's a behaviour, but...
well, and advising the community of the risk of losing the service if...
Reasons why. Maybe the reasons why there's a risk of losing the service. Because the my take on was some of those...
All right, and advising the community of the reasons why there is a risk of losing the service.
Because, I mean, the big one for me was up the Arms, where we had unofficial dumping sites that were literally out of control. They went on for months and months. Council staff went up and cleaned... You know, they'd clean up four-fifths of it. They turn up the next day and it was back again.
And... Other ratepayers are actually paying for that, and it was actually contractors that went and did it. We had to get contractors in to clean it up. And you're missing. You've got to remember. You know, you're missing the tipping fees. We have to pay the waste levy on that stuff if it goes into landfill. It's a huge cost, and it's not just the illegal dumping that goes on there. The other thing that happens is people take chemicals, batteries, things that should not be put out. Turn up in the middle of the night and put them in front of some little old lady. I can remember one, there were six drums of dirty oil out the front of a house when our staff followed up on it. It was an elderly lady who was a pensioner. There's no way in the world that the six drums of oil were hers. They just appeared in front of her house on a bulk rubbish night. And we've had chemicals and, you know, poisons and things that, including asbestos, being piled up because it costs money to dispose of it properly at the tip.
Do you know how long this contract's got to live?
Till the end of it, the same as the waste one.
April 2027, I believe it expires. March.
I mean, the reason I ask that is because I can just imagine negotiating, trying to escape this. It's going to cost us more than $45,000 a year. So still be paying, we'll lose the service. Bring it back.
Could I ask that staff also check, because I know that at least on one occasion where the date that was on the calendar for the bulk pickup was a certain date, you know, on a week, and stuff turned up in my mum's street on that day, and I think something like 4 weeks later it was still there because the pickup hadn't occurred. It is a problem, isn't it?
Yep.
I thought it might be. That needs investigating as well, because the bad day in Beirut look is not necessarily because people are putting stuff out too early. They're putting it out at the right time, but the contractor is not picking it up in a timely manner.
We were
and the longer it sits, the more it gets added to and the more it gets scavenged through and spread everywhere.
Can't help thinking that the amount of water that we're paying to take over our toll bridge would be horrendous too, because you put out a couch and you get 5 inches of rain and you've got another 100 kilos of couch. The other thing I was going to say, in the plant committee, we had a discussion around some of, you know, those signs with the flooding ahead, do not proceed. So a couple of them are in, a couple of them are up for possible sale, but there was also a discussion around using them for other things. And maybe we could put one of those signs up saying, this is not a dump site, and have a couple of cameras on it, even if it was sort of fake cameras.
Do you believe we actually put some real cameras up on a couple of locations,
stolen?
Not only, and some signs? Not only did the cameras get smashed, the signs got demolished, and there was twice as much rubbish there.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but unfortunately there is a, you know... I'd like to think a very small component of our community, but that's the mentality. And it.
Well, same as the beach access. They put cameras down there and they were destroyed as well. So,
Well, it's like everything, though. It's always that small minority that make it difficult and basically ruin it for everyone else. If everyone did the right thing with the bulk pickup, it wouldn't be an issue. If nothing that shouldn't be put out was put out, if people didn't, well, I guess... Good luck to them if they scavenge, but if you're going to scavenge, at least don't spread it right across somebody's front lawn and across the footpath and out onto the roadway, which tends to happen.
Well, I think we've identified this. The timeliness, your issue, I think, is key. I also think in these rural areas, if we persist, we have to have zero tolerance, as in we go out and clean it up immediately so that there's not that continual. I know it's hard to say that. We know what's going to happen. We know the sites it's going to turn up, and if they're... Anyway.
Right. Okay, so we have a new motion. Did we... Oh, we didn't have a seconder.
But can I just make a comment? On Ginnegay, on the left-hand side, going out of Maxville, there's a pile of rubbish. All old vegetable.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's still there. It's a bit of an eyesore. I was wondering why it hadn't been cleaned up.
I think it might be on private property.
It's out on the roadside.
Okay. All right, well, staff are aware of it and they'll follow up on that. Thank you. Councillor Janvey's seconding the motion. Okay. No other discussion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Hey, we have no other late reports, so could have a motion to go to closed meeting, please. Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Wilson. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And if you go to your closed business paper, page 2, item 13.1. Reporting back on. Councillors, we've now reverted to open meeting, so I will ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In relation to item 13.1, SF3230, borrowing program, Council resolved that Council approve new borrowings for the purpose of capital works at the South Maxville Sewerage Transfer System from T Corp, amounting to $3,800,000. Number B, they approve that Council approve terms of the loan are for Credit Foncier loan for $3.8 million for a 20-year term with a fixed interest rate and semi-annual repayments. Item C, the Mayor and the General Manager be delegated authority to execute the loan agreement and affix the Council seal. Second item dealt with in confidential business this evening was item 13.2, which is a review of Dawkins Park water quality and wildlife management. Council resolved that Council appoint GeoLink to undertake a review of Dawkins Park water quality and wildlife management options as per their proposal, with instructions to consider the options put to Council's meeting on 14th of July 2022 by staff and by Miss Janet Court. In relation to item 13.3, construction of cell 4A at the Nambucca Waste Management Facility, Council resolved that Council accept the tender submissions from Total Lining Systems for the construction of cell 4A at the Nambucca Waste Management Facility and update the contract register.
Thank you, and there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their attendance and their courtesy and declare the meeting closed.
What is the right time? Is it 7:00?